Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Bobby Eaton Show, giving you information you want to know and music for your soul. It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
It's time for the Bobby Eaton Show.
Yeah.
Giving you information you'll want to know. Speaking on issues affecting us all and music for the soul.
Yeah.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Bobby.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Bobby.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Bobby.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Hello, everybody. Hey, and welcome to the Bobby Eaton Show. This is where we tell our stories our way. And this is Open Mic Wednesday. You know, we're going to talk about anything that you like to talk about. Just dial the number 646-716-5525 and press the one button. We're going to have open mic. Hey, as we approach the Thanksgiving Day holiday, hopefully everybody's pretty safe, you know, and drive safely, because a lot of traffic's going to be on the freeways and stuff out there, you know, and I know a lot of people are going to be eating some good food, you know, so sharing and family, being together, and, you know, that's a good thing. So we want you to be safe. You know what I mean? Take care of them chillins. You know, make sure they all in the right place. Because, you know, anytime the holidays come about, and anytime we can unite, you know, as a people, and we should do that other than just wait for a holiday. We should really do that, you know, on a regular basis, you know, getting together, going over grandma's house, over to mama's house, you know, old grandpa's house, you know, and we just fellowshipping and loving on one another. And that's what we need to do, get back to loving one another in our communities, you know, and supporting our communities, supporting our local businesses. Hey, you know, this Thanksgiving, a lot of money is going to be spent. So why don't you spend it in your community? You know, if you have local fruit stands or businesses that connect with the holidays, spend it within your community for a change. You know, so many of us are so quick to run out to those places that do nothing to give back to our community. So I am suggesting that you get together, you know, maybe a family member, maybe a friend, and say, hey, we're going to spend in our community on these holidays, you know. So, well, we're going to take a break. And like I said, it's Open Mic Wednesday, and you can come and do whatever you like to. All right, you're on the Bobby Eaton Show, where we tell our stories our way.
Look at her, she's the best man with Gemma. never had. She's Dr. Classy, oh, sex is fancy. She's heavenly, a treat for the eye to see. She's real.
That's right. She's a bad mamma jamma here on the Bobby Eaton Show, where we tell our stories our way. Hey, just doing a little recap of what took place. We are doing a series on the children of Africa. And we did our first series, part one, started on Monday. And we had Brother Chief and Brother Chris Clarkson and also Andre Harris were in here. Boy, did we have some good conversation and discussion in reference to culture and Africa and, you know, the African American. So we're doing a part two series of the series, which is going to take place on this coming Monday. So, you know, tune in Monday. Same guys are going to be back off in here. Call in if you got any information in reference to the children of Africa. You know, and we all are from Africa, you know, because that's some other country and where it all began for us here in this country. Hey, we're here every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Also on Saturdays, like today, from 12 to 2 p.m. You can tune in and voice your opinion, talk about what you like to talk about. This program, this station is for you. You're going to utilize it in the best way you see fit. You know, and it's not just mine. This is the Bobby Eaton Show, but it involves the community and African American and minorities, and I give them a voice. You know, sometimes people come on the show, never been on a microphone in their lives, but I give them a chance, an opportunity to express themselves and talk about the issues at hand. So if you'd like to get on the show or talk about some issues, you can email us at eatonmusic2@gmail.com. That's EatonMusic, the number 2@gmail.com. And I'm going to give you a phone number too. And that number to call is 832-443-9499. And that is Eaton Media Services right over here in the heart of Tulsa, Oklahoma, home of Black Wall Street, Black Wall Street Massacre, 1921.
Hey, what's happening? Hey,
brother,
oh,
what's
up? Hey, how you doing?
Party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop. Right on.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you to cry. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you die. You know we have to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. See, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, pick it light and pick it fast. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on?
Right.
You'll never know me. We all got our own funny moves. I've got mine. Woman, you got yours too. Just trust in me like I trust in you. As long as we've been together, that should be so easy to do.
As she passes by. That's right. That's what we say. Hey, you're on the Bobby Eaton Show, where we tell our stories our way. I'm going to play a little bit of the show that we had on Monday with Chief and Andre Harris. You know, it got kind of deep up in here. So I'm going to play a little bit of that. You guys stick around, okay?
It's time for the Bobby Eaton Show.
Yeah,
information you want to know and music for your soul. It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Time for the Bobby Eaton Show.
Yeah.
Giving you information you'll want to know. Speaking on issues affecting us all and
music for the soul, y'all.
It's
that's
the
right.
Bobby
you're on the Bobby Eaton Show.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Bobby.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Bobby.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
All right. Hey, welcome to the Bobby Eaton Show. This is where we tell our stories our way. And boy, do we have a great show for you today. Hey, we're doing a series on the children of Africa. You know what I mean? And we got Andre Harris. Hey, Chris Carson. Brother Chief in the house. And we're going to be talking about it. We're going to take it back.
It's time for the Bobby Eaton Show. It's time for the Bobby Eaton Show, giving you information you want to know and music for your soul. It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
You know, taking place right here. I was like, that tripped me out. You know, that was something. Hey, so welcome to the Bobby Eaton Show, where we tell our stories our way. And we got some information for you. Dial the number 646-716-5525. And don't forget to press that one button. Hey, just saw a little recap. Just had a little event that took place on Saturday down at Lacey Park, you know, that me and the Juice Radio Show were a part of down there. They were doing a festival on adoption and foster care kids and stuff like that. So we had a nice little gathering down there, a lot of vendors and stuff down there. Ramal, the hometown heat, he represented the Juice Radio Show as well as a couple of Juice members. And keep in mind that they're here every Thursday night. Thursday night. So this is the Children of Africa's, the Children of Africa series. And we're going to be doing this, you know, quite often. So stay tuned and check the social media and all that stuff that goes with it. And we're going to be doing it. We're going to be doing it. Meanwhile, I want to send out condolences to all of the families that have been lost here in Tulsa. Lately, we've been having losing a lot of brothers and stuff like that that I know. And it's condolences to all their families. I'm not going to pass out no names because we know who they are. But we're going to take a little break, and I'm going to come back with Andre Harris, Chris Clarkson, and Chief. Brother Chief is going to be in the house, and I'm going to keep it smooth right now because it's going to get heated up in here. You know, it's going to get real heated. It's going to be on fire in here. So, hey, while I'm playing this song, y'all contact your family members, friends, and people like that. And by the way, computer listeners, like you always do, computer listeners can go to blogtalkradio.com/WFUNK. And that's what you want to do for your and just if you can't remember all that, just Google the Bobby Eaton Show. It's all right there. All right, I'm going to play a little bit of something. I'm going to smooth y'all out right now because it's going to be heated here in just a minute. So, y'all take it. Thank you. Oh, yeah, you're on the Bobby Eaton Show, where we tell our stories our way. And that was sounds of Mr. Norman Brown. Hey, in the studio, we got some good brothers sitting up in here. And I just want to welcome you guys to the show. What's up, Brother Chief?
Everything, all at the same time.
All at the same. Brother Chris, how are we doing, man?
Oh, all is good.
All right, Andre.
Man, we just, trying to have a good look by reading a good book. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's good. That's good. Well, welcome. We're talking about the Children of Africa series is what we're talking about. And, you know, it's so often that a lot of African-Americans here in the United States, we only go back to slavery, mm-hmm. and that's as far back as we go, mm-hmm. you know. But we're going to go back to Africa. You know, and talk about how we got to where we are today.
Absolutely.
Let's start
Absolutely.
Right there. So I want to open up the floor, you know, to you guys right here to chime in. Don't hold back on nothing. Mm-hmm. We don't hold back mm-hmm. on anything here anyway.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I might say anything. So
lock the door.
It get like that sometimes. I didn't say crazy stuff with white folks being in there. So you know that.
That's it.
So, you know, it don't matter because we tell our stories our way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I'm going to continue to do that.
In that order.
You know, because this is black owned, blackety black, black. You know, and I don't report. Only thing I pay is PSO. Gas, you know what I mean, and the bills and utility, which can stack up
yeah.
and need that help. And also, I want to let you guys know that we are taking the donations. I got to make the mention of that. We are taking the donations here, 1533 North Norfolk. And also, you can get in touch with us at eatonmusic2@gmail.com. Can't remember all that stuff, Bobby Eaton Show.
There you go.
You know what I mean? That's what we do. Well, what do you guys think, man? Welcome to the show.
Man, glad to be here, Bobby.
Glad to be here. So we started generations upon generations ago, you know, from Africa, you know, the motherland. And Chief, you go there quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you visit every year.
Right.
Back and forth. You know, it was a song called Back and Forth. You know what I mean? And
Cameo.
Tell us on your journeys. We're going to start. I'll start with you. On your journeys, man, and being over there in Africa, what did you discover when you first went over there and said, wow?
The absence of racism.
The absence of racism.
That's the first thing you notice. You don't even know. You know, we're so conditioned by it. We don't even think about what life would be like not having it present.
But being over there.
Yeah, you just don't think about it. It's just been part of our conditioning that we don't. It's like when you say you meet brothers and say we're fighting for our liberation, our freedom. Well, you ain't never really tasted freedom, so you don't even know what that looked like.
So are we free over there in Africa? Is it freedom? Or is it still some lightweight conditioning free, that's still westernized over?
Freedom is a matter of perspective.
OK.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like I've been to the cities. I've been to the towns and I've been to the bush. I've seen three different variations of freedom. Right. So the person in the bush may feel like I don't have a care in the world. I'm totally free.
Really?
I'm disconnected from everybody.
I don't have to. That
ain't somebody in my embodiment of who I am. You know what I'm saying? Then you go to the town, you got them people who say we're free people. I'm a free man here. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to see the nobody. Then you go to the city. They got their own idea of what freedom is because you still speak your own language. You still got your own culture. You still got all of the main things that make you a human. You know what I'm saying? But from the standpoint of, so it's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of context and what we talk about when we, what do you call freedom? Look, it's like saying in America, land of the free, but we know we the most enslaved people on the planet.
So would you say the guy in the bush probably from what you just explained to me would maybe be one of the most free people in the world,
mm-hmm.
You know, because he doesn't answer to anyone or do anything. He lives in the bush, and his daily processes is what he feels wants to be in nature.
Yeah.
What he wants to be about, right? Which is strong in our culture.
Right.
You know, so which one would you choose? Speaking of it.
It's not a matter of choice. It's a matter of what are you born into?
Yeah. Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
That's
why I said I experienced three ideas of what freedom is,
mm-hmm.
in three different walks of life, from the bush to the town to the city. You know, so it's like you born into whatever you born into.
Mm-hmm.
However you define freedom is, that's mm-hmm. your definition. Just like you got Americans who live here who totally believe they're free.
Mm-hmm.
But ask them the same questions you ask the man in the bush.
Two different entities.
You're gonna get two totally different. The man in the bush will make the person who has an American citizenship feel like an absolute slave. When you get up in the morning, who you get up for?
You get up for the man, huh? You mean here?
Yeah. Right. You ask the man in the bush, who you get up for?
He gets up for himself, don't
he? Who feeds you?
He feeds himself.
Do you feed
yourself?
You know,
I gotta go out and buy the white man's food and stuff like
that.
That's what
I'm saying.
You know?
Just the basic fundamental things that make you a human being.
Right.
You know, that you ask. That's why I say you ask different people. So the person in the bush may say, or the person in the city may say, yeah, but I got running water. Yeah, but you pay for yours. I don't. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So the argument could go back and it'll be a heck of a debate, man.
Yeah. That man in the bush is more free.
Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. it'll be a heck of a debate. Your immune system is better. Your health is better. Your mental sanity is better. Your connection with all creation is better.
Yeah. Let me ask you, because a lot of times mainstream media always portrays the bush as a savage type,
landscape.
And, you know, and they always show people in impoverished areas, and they never show the prosperous Africans in Africa. You don't never see that, you know. You don't never see no high rises and nobody riding around in no roses or nothing like that. And I know they have all of that.
Yeah.
All of that do exist there.
Right.
And so they want you to look at it as just a messed up continent,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's why we do this kind of radio, so we can talk about this kind of stuff.
I agree completely with my man Chief said, you know, mm-hmm. but they don't show them up there in the mountains and how they came down out the mountains either, though.
No, they don't.
You know, how they were starving and up there mm-hmm. eating their own, and you know what I'm saying? And all the activities that they had going on, they don't show that. So they always want to show, you know, the
baby with
art
the flies
people.
On them.
Yeah.
The worst look they
there
see.
You go.
Please send
this to this.
Continuously. A continuous brainwashing. And to hear brothers like, to hear brothers like T say he go back once a year,
mm-hmm.
you know, takes the fear out of a lot of brothers that might have about maybe going.
Then get a reality check.
They give a reality check. You know, they say, well, you need 11 different shots to go over there.
Yeah.
Whoop this,
yeah.
whoop that. It's all fear tactics to keep us from going over there because that's where our resources are.
Mm-hmm.
And like my man Akon said, you can go over there within 5 years and build a Fortune 500 company and expand it from there and take it anywhere in the world because of the knowledge you got right here in America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so as we continue to learn from each other and piggyback off of each other, we're gonna start getting rid of all these lies
mm-hmm.
and all these fabrications
mm-hmm.
and actually start building on truth. And I guarantee as we continue pulling together, we're gonna go back. You know, mm-hmm. where they told us not to go back to, don't go back to Kenya, don't go back to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? That's exactly where we headed to.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know.
That's real.
But anyway.
Wow. That's real. That's real right there. So you know, Africa is a place to be. You know what I mean? I see where you can actually free your soul going back to Africa, you know, and being back in there. Why is it that, you know, I've had some African-Americans make a statement like, well, I'm not from Africa. I'm born here in the United States of America. Haven't you heard that before?
Of course.
You know, and I'm born here in America. I ain't got nothing to do with Africa. Why do you think that is? What kind of brainwashing is that? Anybody want to answer that?
Go ahead, Chris. Jump in.
I think that's the mental ill. That's the post-traumatic slave syndrome
mm-hmm.
kicking in. It's a sickness.
It's a sickness.
Yeah, it's it and
it's been ingrained in us to think. Some of us to think like that.
Right.
You know, are you too? He too radical. He's too militant. He's too. I mean, you know what I mean. You hear that now. You know, brothers like y'all be talking and go out in the community. He's a, you know, yeah, right. He's racist. Don't even know that you can't even be racist.
That's a big miss.
You know, the sickness Chris talk about. I watch a lot of UFC and boxing all the time. And every other country gets in the ring with their flag on and represents and stands with their flag.
Mm-hmm.
But when the American comes in there, they start booing him and start cheering from the other cat. And here he's an American.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And just imagine if he had one of the African flags on one of the countries, you know, in the continent.
Ghana, Nigeria.
Man, you're talking about booing, but you know they do the same thing to the man to go off to war and come back.
Right.
It's the same,
that's right.
It's the same illness. It's like no matter what we do, we can't fit in. No matter what we do,
why
we
is
can't.
That? Why
well,
is that?
Well, be, go ahead, Chief. Go ahead.
My brother Chris like the mic. He's that big.
But why is that? Why come we can't fit in?
I give my opinion. I'll make it real quick. Because we ain't supposed to.
Set by them.
Set by us.
By us.
But and as we continue cutting the lights on and seeing why we can't fit in, you see what I'm saying? You'll see why they keep telling us we can. You see what I'm saying? Because in order to show up on down the road, you got to grab back in. You got to say, we all won, we all bleed the same. You know the story. Bobby Eaton, you know it.
Well, I got to ask the questions, man.
I know.
I mean, I already know.
But there
are a lot of people listening that don't know.
Right.
You know, they don't know. That's what we're talking about.
That we the same, we this, we that. You know, we melanated beings and our, you know, where we came from, where they came from, talking about either the Mongoloid, the Caucasoid, or the Negroid, whichever one you're talking about.
Speaking of Caucasians, where did they originate from? You know, because there's some myths about that, you know, and some different theological answers to it. Where did they come from? Does anybody know?
I don't know. Well, my opinion is,
what is your opinion about it?
My opinion is that they came up out the Caucasus Mountains. That's why they call them Caucasians.
Mm-hmm.
And they want.
And where are the Caucasus Mountains located?
It's in Turkey. If I'm not mistaken.
In Turkey, yes,
Turkey.
And that's why in the biblical you go from the. I'm sorry, I apologize.
That's
you
right.
go from biblical, like I read. If I'm trying to check on something, I go to the date King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got just the regular King James, and you got the NIV.
Mm-hmm.
So you got the King James and you got Rupert Murdoch.
Right.
And then you go from, and y'all know who Rupert Murdoch is.
Explain Rupert Murdoch to the
okay,
audience.
Rupert Murdoch owns 95% of pornography in the world. He also owns the Satanic Bible and he owns all the NIV Bibles, which has been three refurbished, recopied. You know, you got to change God's word to make sure you get it exactly the way he wants you to say it, being sarcastic. But he also owns one of the major networks, and if you write over 200 words and call it the Bible, you got to get Rupert Murdoch's permission. So you got to Google and look up who Rupert Murdoch is. He's also known as a Jewish individual, and he owns the NIV Bible. And
he created the NIV.
He translated it.
As we begin to wake up, see, you got us this we woke to the Bible. We know that it's got an African origin, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we following the archaeology, the anthropology, we getting smart with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we figuring that even though people say God don't see color, we do. You know what I'm
right,
saying?
Exactly.
God see it by the nations.
Mm-hmm.
So all we got to do is go do our research and look at the nations. Then we can put the color on this. Oh, this is who this is. This is who this is in the Bible. This is who this is in the Bible. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And once you do that, the thing just, it unravels so bad for them.
Mm-hmm.
when you understand it. You know
yeah,
saying?
You know, that's right. That's right. You know, Brother Andre made me think about something. I remember when I was studying with the 5% gods of Earth, and we had, what was it? The Book of Enoch.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we were talking about the origins of the Caucasoid. And in the book of Enoch, well, first let me say this. My father was a 33rd degree Mason.
Mm-hmm.
So he used to throw stuff at me, you know, thinking, but his goal was to make me one too.
Make you a man.
Right.
Huh?
But I'm a thinker. All right. Mm-hmm. And so he would throw different things at me. He said, I want you to go find the original book of Enoch. Right. Go find the original. Been 4 years looking for the book he was talking about.
And you
I found
find
the
it.
Keys of Enoch. Mm-hmm. The mysteries of Enoch, everything that had
except
his name attached to it. Right. So then I had a cousin working in Yale at administration.
Uh-huh.
All right. He also worked in the library. And he said, it's only two copies in the world. One is in a museum in New York. The other one is in Ethiopia. Right. He said, it's not what they let you read. Right. And it's not your education that makes you powerful, stuff that they don't let you read. It's the
right.
stuff that they don't make accessible
mm-hmm.
to you that's power.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the real power is.
Come on.
Right? So to get to the question, in the book of Enoch, towards the end of the book, it says, Lamech, who is the son of Methuselah, had a son. And when he bore his son had skin like a rose. And he went to his father and he said, what is this curse on me? Because that is not the seed of my seed. That's not my child. That's something different on the earth. And I need mm-hmm. you to explain this. Surely your father has prophesied about this. So Lamech went to Methuselah and asked him, what is this? And he said, it is a curse upon the earth because the sons of God have mated with the daughters of man. So it made sense. And he said, what should you, when you name that child, you name him Noah. So it made sense that Noah would curse, right? And say Ham is a curse on the planet
mm-hmm.
because he looked totally different from his father.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's how the narrative went, that black people are cursed because of his son is seeing the nakedness on him. What he's saying is, I knew my daddy was different, was very different, and something was very wrong. So now they take a boat ride on a planet that's supposedly flooded so they could end up in some other mountain.
That's
mm-hmm.
the
wop. Right?
That's the wop.
I'm going
to hit you over the head.
Yeah.
I'm ready to hit you over the head.
So now they mm-hmm. way up in the mountains now,
mm-hmm.
isolated from the rest of humanity. Y'all following me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the trick they tried to run was on us.
Right.
Why we can't fit in is like trying to fit Africa into the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't going to never fit because it's bigger than what you're trying to fit into.
Mm-hmm.
We bigger than what anybody try to fit us into. Mm-hmm. That's why the worst thing, the psychologically, the worst thing we can say to ourselves is we need to fit in. No, we don't. We created what is in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we did.
Nothing,
we really
it ain't
did.
Nothing that's in that we haven't created.
Well, we created it all.
Yeah, they simply just figure out how to capitalize on whatever we make.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They do that because they're not creators.
Yeah. Well, you mm-hmm. know, even the great Martin Luther King said, I've just incorporated my people into a burning building.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Even he knew the problem of us trying to have one understanding, one Western understanding, or, you know, the understanding of a people has been here for 7,000 years compared to a people has been here
right.
for billions. 76 billion is my number, you know, for the listeners. If you want to do any research, I'll give you a couple of names where I get these numbers at. But so to know that when you're looking at the Bible, and I'm an ordained licensed minister, also Chris is,
mm-hmm.
and I know my man is for sure. I ain't no telling how many, you know, pieces of paperwork he got. But the real study and the real knowledge comes from individual study.
Yeah.
You know, you know, I'm having your own personal relationship with God, like we talked about last time, Bobby.
That's right. I believe in that one for sure.
Yeah. You know, second education,
yeah.
because if you know, you even said it earlier, we always go back to the boat
mm-hmm.
and coming in on the boat. And then we get this American mm-hmm. image of what the land of free and home of the brave, the land of milk and honey.
Mm-hmm.
My ass.
Mm-hmm.
The land of slavery,
really? Slavery.
And penitentiaries
mm-hmm.
and everything being whitewashed.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you know, so my understanding is
you can get it through school, but when you get out and you really start getting a hold of some real good knowledge and some real good books, get with some brothers that's really trying to educate themselves and some beyond
right.
this.
And you know, when you get these books, you got to get these books and you got to check these books.
Mm-hmm.
Where you getting your information
mm-hmm.
from.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Because, and then you got, I'm always doing that. That's what I do.
Right.
You know, if I get a book and I'm reading something, I don't just take everything for word until I can get some research out of it. From I might get something from you, get something for you from you. Then I'll put it in the pot and make good gumbo.
That's it.
You know, where it's tasting good.
Yeah.
To where I, then I can go before my God and ask the questions
mm-hmm.
that I need to ask.
Right.
You know,
some of it, some of this stuff is very overwhelming too.
Yeah, it is overwhelming. If you don't understand, it's funny to get a book that starts in a certain place and you haven't gotten the book before it to read up to get to that book.
Like Chief just did.
Yeah, the Chief just did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if you're telling, it's kind of like telling some kids a story that they have no idea what you're even talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We around here in this room can understand a lot of this history and stuff like that. But you got to study, what do you think? Study to show yourself approved. You know what I mean? That's what's said in that book. You know what I mean? And hey, what can I say? But you got to do your research. And it's no excuse today not to be able to obtain that information
mm-hmm.
for nobody. Because we walk around with these computers in our hand every day. Well, we can get knowledge. I can go to Nigeria, you know, through the net and stuff like that, get cultural information, you know, hook up, link up with somebody who lives there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and chat back and forth with them, get some information. We can do that if we'll just do it.
Yeah.
You know,
I actually did my DNA test, my ancestry DNA, and I'm, man, you were real brothers. I'm from Nigeria.
All right.
Y'all did it?
I did mine.
Ooh,
and
I'm
so
scared
I'm
to do
Nigeria.
Mine.
Well,
I'll be
right.
Some
I
coming back some shit from Sweden or some shit, you know.
Well, okay. I did too, and I wondered why, like, Rottweilers and Porsches. I thought I got some German in
there. You got some German, right.
You know, but that don't keep me from being in having an Afrocentric point of view and really getting on this train of thought and this trail. We call it the straight and narrow trail.
Right.
That, you know, the DNA had to show up like that, or I wouldn't be where I'm at today.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm glad that I did the research. But here's the thing, though. If I was somewhat shy or nervous to do my DNA because mm-hmm. I knew it was going to come up, and you was too, well, imagine how they feel about doing their DNA.
Yeah.
Because I ain't found one yet that has.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm talking about the Caucasoid, because when you do, you're going to find out you came out of
mm-hmm.
Georgia, Russia, about
mm-hmm.
them mountains. And that's just facts. We can go back to that.
That is fact.
And we'll go back to Africa like you want us to, and
mm-hmm.
in our DNA, and that's exactly what we're
mm-hmm.
going. But you're going to find out that you came
mm-hmm.
from out, you know, the continent of Africa, because you came from the black woman, which is God on earth.
She's the mother.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get there, you know, you can say, I am your mothers and fathers, like you said, and shall your days be long. Come on.
Yeah.
You know. So, you know, either grab back in or go back up.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's it.
That was a little inside.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Now, during this translation of the Hebrew scripture, what they say, 1611? Is that what we calculated?
King James.
1611. The scribes transferring over the you know, and they reading, and so King James put that Bible together to fit his people, to fit his
mm-hmm.
people, change the names of prophets and
mm-hmm.
and stuff inside the book,
mm-hmm.
put some words in the book too. Thus thou boldest, you know what I mean? And all I mean, come on, that's what it is, you know. John, Mark, Luke, Paul, you know what I mean? English names. Change Yeshua's name to Jesus and all of that, and then he kicked the vagabonds out of there, Columbus and them, sent them to seas and stuff like that, and you know, come on, we know the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden we get this book after they incarcerate us from Africa. We was already here in the beginning anyway,
yeah.
And before even the Native Americans even were here,
Native Earthlings,
you know, were here. Everybody want to think that they were the first ones here, but we were here, you know.
You know, a lot of people don't even know what the native, how it actually came about. It was
mm-hmm.
the African here first, Then there was the Asian that came, the mm-hmm. Asian and African got yep. together.
Mm-hmm.
The Asian has hollow hair. The Native mm-hmm. American has hollow hair.
And created
those,
it.
Those are the only two people on earth with mm-hmm. hollow hair.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you had one and two.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, and that's how you get the red man. Then mm-hmm. after that, you get the $5 Indian. Those are the ones
yeah.
with all the tags on the back of their car.
Exactly.
Come on. That gets all the benefits.
Yeah. I can eat free.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah,
I get the free house.
Yeah.
Or like the casinos,
yeah,
right,
all of that. You know, when we were incarcerated over in Africa, when those Europeans went over there and enslaved us, what were some of the ships that came over? They said, what was it? One of them were, wasn't it called the Good Ship Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
And the
Mother Mary. Mother Mary.
Yeah.
And the grace of God.
You're right. Grace of God. They put those titles on those ships, didn't they?
Well, those, yeah, those were the name of the ship. That was the first time we heard the name Jesus was when we got on the boat.
On the boat.
We'd never heard of that name before,
right,
because
exactly.
the letter J is from the 1550s.
And it's not in the Hebrew scripture.
No, sir.
Yeah.
No, sir.
Not in there at all.
Yeah, they. One of the things that I learned being in Africa, it's different when you learn in history on the continent versus being here or anywhere else. And one of the things that got me was 100 years of indoctrination prior to enslavement of the transatlantic slave trade. 100 years.
Wow.
So they spent up to 100 years indoctrinating some of the people so that you can have people who are now that. So that's the curse when you think about it, you know, and we got to be really conscious, like you said, about information.
Mm-hmm.
We got to cross-reference and cross-examine everything
mm-hmm.
that we read, because social engineering is at its best when somebody creates a doctrine where they can engineer your thinking,
right?
And so when I saw that, and I was like, okay, y'all remember them? I was watching a documentary, my second year in Africa. And you know how they had them chairs with the poles and the
mm-hmm.
brothers is holding? It's like four brothers, two in the front, two
yeah,
in the
right,
back.
Right,
they're
holding
right,
the brother.
And they walking yeah. the white man through the village.
Right.
That used to annoy the mess out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But that's because I didn't have any cultural context.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was looking at the documentary, it was about Benin. And it was saying how the king said, you meet them at the coastline. Do not let their feet touch sacred ground. Changed my whole outlook on everything, because I saw the pictures in a book, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, wait a minute. So all this time, you know, pictures says a thousand words.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right. So that whole time, I'm thinking, mm-hmm. man, I was brought up watching this, seeing this imagery, and thinking, why we worship them like this? Why are we carrying them around like that? Right. That's just part of our processing as being enslaved in this country, being in servitude. So we see pictorials as servants, as a service, as opposed to having any other meaning beyond that, because we lost our sacred idea about what land means, what
mm-hmm,
soil means,
mm-hmm.
right? So those people are like, no, this is ancestral land. They can't even bring them straight to the palace. Don't let them touch the ground. And it's like when you think about that was one image of thousands of images that were created through colonization. When you start to detox and sift out and take out and remove and reevaluate and rethink, reshape, reshift stuff to fit our consciousness, you know what I'm saying? It's like when we go in school, how we learn different. We do math different. We do science. We do everything different. That's why whenever we do pick up their stuff, we end up mastering it.
Because
we saw it as simple. Well, if somebody explained the formula a little bit different, I could have taught this class,
mm-hmm.
you know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? But the formula is not designed that way.
Come on.
Right. It ain't designed that way. Well, but we got those amongst us like George Washington Carver,
mm-hmm.
who take a peanut and make 500 other uses
out of a peanut.
Out of a
yeah.
peanut. He's saying, y'all, this is it. That's all y'all. That's
mm-hmm.
all, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and you think about
all of those leaders
yeah.
like that, you know, the inventors, Benjamin Banneker and all of those people who are.
So
no.
you think about the Bush man again.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to the Bush. That's George Washington Carver. That's
mm-hmm.
the man who came out of the Bush and said, this peanut, this lizard, this plant, this nut, this whatever,
mm-hmm.
got 1,000 uses. Like I saw kids getting snakes out of a hole. And I'm thinking, y'all crazy. They're like, no, chief, while they do it, you can do it too. And they took this plant. They call it a American bomb. The kids call them American bomb because when you wet them, they pop.
Mm-hmm.
Where they and they get this creamy liquid. And they was putting it on their hands, make your hands cold. So when they digged in the hole, the snakes can't sense their hands because ain't no body heat.
Wow.
Right.
Ah, and they can just grab the snake, huh?
That's it. Because I'm thinking, y'all ain't even looking, man. They're digging in there.
And they're pulling out a snake.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a video or something like
stuff
that.
Stuff like that, man. It's like this culture, this society that supposedly dominates has, they've created, their illusion is so great. They are masters of illusion. And because they are masters of illusion, we fall for every and anything, the latest and greatest of whatever it is. But then when you go to look through the research, you say, well, who invented that? Then you find out it was one of us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, wow. But then but who at the face of everything?
We're not at the face of it.
No.
No.
So when you see the face of everything, just like you look at every grocery store, who at the face of the market?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hispanics.
Yeah.
If their face was on every product in the grocery store
mm-hmm.
that came from the fields, that who face would be on it?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's never going to identify the source of your well-being, of the source of everything that you have. It's like we went through this room and you got all the brothers who didn't had anything to do with the equipment in this room.
Mm-hmm.
And you pulled them all together and said, well, damn, they didn't create nothing.
Mm-hmm. Because we didn't.
Except the fake money you use.
Fake money, right.
You know?
We talked about that earlier.
Yeah. In God we trust.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, in God we trust. You know what I mean? And we got to get back to taking back what is ours.
I think the biggest distraction is this. We put too much focus on the idea of white.
White is right.
We put too much energy into it, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like if my children are telling me that they gave birth to me, how serious am I supposed to take that?
That's deep.
Yeah, it is. That's really deep.
That was heavy right there.
You mm-hmm. see what I'm saying? How serious am I really supposed to take
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm.
So if I take that and it takes over my complete.
And you start believing.
Yes, it takes over my complete thinking process. Because you're saying to yourself, in one breath, I'm the original man. But in another breath, I'm giving so much power and credit to that other person that I'm demonizing or making out to be whatever I'm making them out to be as if I didn't give birth to them too. It don't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? It's like if I'm the original, there's nothing, like Shaka Zulu said, there will be nothing else after me. How can there be anything else after me that is not of me? How can there be any place we have not been when we created everything, when we have been everywhere,
mm-hmm.
when we created the boats that went everywhere before all the land plates shifted and went all these, you know what I'm saying? Before all of this stuff happened, why is it that you can find us everywhere, yet we act like we are the ones being taken on the journey? Everybody got to take us on a journey. When we created the whole navigational system, when we understood the sky and the reflection of the sky and the earth, we built our houses in sync with stars. So when the earth rotated on its axis, we in right in alignment
mm-hmm.
with how things are supposed to move seasonally. So when the planet shifts this way, if our village is built this way and our garden is here, we cultivate our food here, then the sunlight should hit. When that season, when that earth shifts and the seasons hit, we already got it. We got it all. The science that we got is already. It's so like one of the things I said. It's easy to live in Africa in quote unquote primitive environments when you have mastered the highest level of science and spirituality. Because you're looking at everything else like it's primitive. Like I'm showing them, I'm going there like, look, Baba, you can be, I'm going to put your picture on the laptop. We're going to send an image somewhere else. He said, I can do that. I can already do that without this. Go to sleep and tell me what you dream about tomorrow. The man went and visited my mind, jumped in there, gave me a story to come back and report about the next day. And now I do this. I close my stuff up, put it in the bag, primitive. Right?
Wow.
Primitive. Apple. Oh, this is the Eve story. Apple. It's nothing. None of this.
All
right?
of these computers.
All of this came from here. Mm-hmm. How did it get there?
That's right.
The mind is the all.
You hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the mind is the most powerful.
Can't nothing exist outside of you that don't already exist in you.
Mm-hmm.
That's fact.
It ain't possible. That's why when people say, we need to create this and we need to create that, we need to create, it's because your mind already know the possibilities, but you don't believe in yourself anymore. You don't even believe your mind. That's why in African tradition, whenever you're going through a rite or a ceremony, they will blindfold you. The reason they blindfold you is because you have conditioned your brain to tell your infinite mind how small it is. So your brain is telling you, if I blindfolded you and said, Bobby, I want you to walk across the street. And I told everybody outside, I got the best, newest cars because they don't hardly make no sound. And they're going to drive back and forth down the street. But I want you to walk across the street blindfolded. You got to trust your whole being, because you have no idea what's waiting for you. But because your brain is telling you that's danger, and it is futile for me to walk out there, you will never do it.
Mm-hmm. Blindfolded.
Right. Why? Because you believe that the material has more power than the immaterial, than that thing that water can't wet or fire can't burn or wind can't blow, that intangible part of yourself that's permanent. Right? Because when you pass, that same energy that I'm talking about is still going to be present. It's still going to be living, still going to be organic. But we ignore that. Right? We trained ourselves to ignore that. So that ability to do things, if I swung my hands in front of you like I was slapping you and you were blindfolded, it would not affect you. But if I take it off and I do it and I swipe, even if I just raise my hand, you're going to do like this.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you fear something that hasn't even happened yet. That's a level of insanity. When you start to fear and you can, everything, I can predict your every move. I can make you do what I want you to do because I'm producing a thought, even though your mind is unflinched. That's why we worship people like Bruce Lee. People, who, you know what I'm saying, who did stuff way outside the context of the, mm-hmm. of the mental ability of a human being. You're like, or the brother that's faster than Bruce Lee,
mm-hmm.
right? It's stuff that we do on a human level that transcend what people call human or superhuman. We've been doing that for centuries. So those things were normal to us. Like when we was kids and they say Indians, they do a rain dance and make it rain. That ain't nothing. Mm-hmm. We've been doing that without dancing. Why? Because we were connected to, it ain't nothing in this whole planet, in the ground, that ain't you, that if you take my hand and cut it off, put it in your plant, come back a few years later, I have become every aspect of that plant. There is no part of that plant that I'm not a part of. Put a plastic bottle in there, put a styrofoam cup in there, put something else that is not organic material. But what is that saying to you on a large scale, on a big conscious level? It's saying to you that there is no difference between you and the planet. And people be like, oh, well, you know, it's stuff out in outer space. Where the hell you think the Earth is? No, really.
Exactly. Yeah.
Where is the Earth? The Earth is in outer space. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What is an extraterrestrial? Mm-hmm. If you make up the planet. If the planet is made up of you, mutual relationship, genetic memory, consciousness. Like I tell my vegetarian friends, you think your plant life is less precious than an animal? You think that's not a sacrifice when you cut that leaf up? When you tear them leaves up and you know, you're not giving any homage to the life force. You ripping it as if it don't have no consciousness. But then look at all the research scientists are doing on plant life. How you can breathe, pray over a bowl of water, and watch the molecular makeup of the water change. The game, man. The game is so deep.
Game, man. It's deep.
Yeah. You hear me?
Yeah, it's deep. Mm-hmm.
So when your consciousness or your lack of consciousness is controlled by how people define life, it's no wonder why they want to treat us like we at the bottom. Right? Because there's an awareness inside of us that's so beyond the ordinary.
So, Chief, how do we gain that consciousness, you know, as a people here in our country? And Andre, Chris, how do we gain this consciousness to bring our brothers and sisters to another level, you know, because we're just so controlled by the system here in the United States of America, and we just follow the system. Everybody, like I said earlier, everybody want to be LeBron James and Beyonce and, you know, all of this and, you know, which is systematically controlled. But how do we get consciousness about who we are? Because I think once you become conscious of who you are, then you can go forward and look at life in its realness.
My journey, me and Chris went to school together. We both came from all black communities to pretty much all white communities, middle class Owosso, and just wasn't treated the same. You know, wasn't.
What
learning.
Did it feel like? What did it feel like out there? I've never been in an environment.
Like we were ostracized, and like the criteria that they put out there was not made up for us for mm-hmm. how we learn. You know,
and Chris, same school.
Yeah, yeah. We had this talk earlier. Readers, mm-hmm. Doers, and knowers. You know, and as knowers, this information that could have been woke up using certain tools, they didn't use, knowing it would wake up. So we're being dumbed down. But you know, Chris was a great athlete, so they. Even though you ain't learning too good, let's put you in football. And I don't know what other sports you played, you know, and mm-hmm. I played sports, but, you know, I was more, I had a job. I, you know, went to work selling the newspaper and doing what I needed to do. But so I was mad when I left school because I knew I was better than that. Mm-hmm. I was better than that. And I would look back over some of the teachers that I had, and I would kind of nod my head to the ones that kind of liked me and, you know, in my memory and ones that I thought didn't do me right. And I thought, oh, I see why now it started making sense. It's because they knew our greatness. Mm-hmm. And they knew that if you ever wake up something that you invented, you're going to look at what I got and be like, mm-hmm. that's second hand, that's third hand, mm-hmm. you know, and you're trying to sell it back to me. But anyway, mm-hmm. so I came up and I started reading, started off with the Bible and, you know, got enough of it in me where I had questions, mm-hmm. you know.
And was it the same for Chris? Was it the same for you too?
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say. The Bible, if you come to it with a willing heart and a truthful spirit, it'll put you on the right track. But you got pitfalls in there, mm-hmm. and, you can get on the straight and narrow path. You can find it, and you can and at the same time you'll also find the road that's wide that leadeth to destruction. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to see that one too.
What and not to cut you off, but the reason why Rupert Murdoch came up in the story is because the NIV will not get you back to Cush, to Kemet, to Ethiopia, to Africa. It won't really get you back to get you to Mesopotamia.
So will a King James Version do it?
Yes,
yeah.
sir. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
You'll mm-hmm. be able to, if you got a good Strong's mm-hmm. and that Bible, and you got...
yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I got to ask
but
a question.
But even a better version than that is the DAKE, D-A-K-E,
mm-hmm.
King James Version, which actually is called the Preacher's Bible, which kind of gives you a little bit more information to kind of build up on or to be able to destroy. So... Mm-hmm. Any of these books you got, whether it's Judaism, Islam, or Christianity, all of them, you should go in there and see where it fits and where it don't fit. So eat the fish, spit out the bones, but why doesn't it make sense? Why is it not connecting? And that's when you got to come back to, you know, books like the Apocrypha.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. And some of those other ones you got down there.
Yeah,
huh?
Well, you want me to mention them?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay, you know, okay. It doesn't bother me at all.
So the Apocrypha, so in...
And kind of give us a brief summary of what the Bible, what they are that you're actually reading, Andre.
Absolutely. Did you guys want to say anything before?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So the total books was 80 books. Okay. And we got 66 of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you do the math, there's 14 books missing that the Catholic Church took out the Bible.
They say it was. Now, they told me, some of them told me there was over 500 books.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That was never reported. You said 18, and then we only got, what, 66 books in the King James?
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Well, you just, what you're talking about is.
They told me.
Because we're talking about two different things. You're talking about the compilation of a Bible, and then you have the books that led up to.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. You're
right.
That's some clarification right there.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
So 80 books. So in my reading of the 66, there was a lot of stuff missing that just didn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And people used to say, well, there's books missing. And I would always, you know, standing on it. Well, no, God got exactly what he wanted in his book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people looking at me crazy and I'm standing for it. You know what I mean? But I just didn't want to open up my mind because I'm gonna be honest with you. To stand on my square, I say I found something that paid good and allowed me to feel intellectually strong and powerful and condescending over other people.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it 100.
Yeah.
Like my religion of Christianity, because it was the white man's religion and he allowed me to have it, was greater than yours. Can I get a come on? Look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I think he's calling it. I think he's telling it now. Yes, I am. You know what I'm saying? Because I wanted to feel empowered because I had this Western ideology that with the, you know, white is right. Because it's all in your face all the time. You know, and then you get Christianity and it just really empowers that. You know, my motto now is if you can get enough Christianity in you, you can get enough racism in you that'll make you turn on your own people like a wild Rottweiler.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. 100 years of indoctrination.
That's a part of the big problem.
That is the problem.
That is the problem.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Say, neighbor, that is your bottom on.
You know, that's real. I remember when Vanessa first ran.
Vanessa Hall.
We had a meeting somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it was with one of the current administrative heads. And he said he had already met with the ministers.
Yeah, okay. I already.
And I said, you met with the ministers before you met with the community leaders?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because they ain't leading in the community. They leading their congregations in the community, but they're not leading the community.
Mm-hmm.
And that struck me. And I said, okay. So the politics haven't changed. We just still refuse to wake up to the reality that even though we can say, well, the churches ain't doing nothing, da, 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 at the end of the day, it don't matter because that's who meeting up in the big house. That's who calling the shots. That's who telling them, this is what Bobby want. This is what Chief want. This is what Andre want. This is what my brother here want. You see what I'm saying? They going telling them people.
That's what you want.
This is what the community wants. So when they come out with their plans and we like, hey, ain't nobody ever talking to us about what we want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are. So ask your minister, when the last time you met with the mayor, right? When's the last time you met with the governor? Because those are the ones that they relying on. It's like a one-stop shop, okay? I got 7 ministers, right?
They're going to make the decision.
That's 3,500 people.
Mm-hmm.
We just met with the community.
That's not the community.
But that's how that's the thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's the science and the political science. So they looking at it like, yeah, we doing exactly what he's talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right, the game, man, is raw.
It's raw.
When it comes to us and transforming how we think,
ooh,
it make you have to pick up that. Yeah. It make you have to pick up volumes. Because what do you say? You perish for the lack of what?
Knowledge.
Right. If it was all there, you follow me?
Yeah.
If it's already there,
he would have never.
You ain't
going.
You shouldn't have to perish.
That's true.
Right.
So he's telling you seek. You got to go seek that knowledge.
Yeah.
If I had to go and come back at 12 from Egypt and school your leaders and your elders as baby Christ, right? If I went to Egypt and came back and rocked everybody's world, what did I get in Egypt that I didn't already have?
Right. The same thing Moses got.
You hear me?
You know, they say, don't go back to Egypt. Don't go back to Africa. Don't go back to the motherland because you're going to start debunking everything that you've been taught. And but like I say, you can go there in the King James. You get in the second, you're not getting firsthand knowledge by going to
King
the
James,
but you're getting secondhand by going in the book, and that and it can be strong enough. Now I'm gonna put this out there so you'll know, it'll be strong enough to where it will break you down mentally. To where you find out everything you've been taught was a lie. Everything is up is down. Everything is left is right.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll turn in on yourself because everything that you thought Master taught you to so that you'll learn because he loved you.
Yeah.
You find out he did what he did because he hates you.
Yeah. I believe in today's time. Now I'm an older gentleman, probably the oldest one in the room. Back when I was coming up, we were really spiritually conditioned mentally. That blue-eyed, blonde-haired Jesus would be on the wall. Those 12 white men would be on the wall. You'd go walking past grandma's house, you'd be scared. Don't go up in the pulpit. That's holy ground. You can't go. Don't ask the preacher no questions. Just take his word as law. You know what I mean? Now, in 2018... people are more conscious. That's why a lot of the churches are not as big as what they used to be. See, it used to be a time when you had to go to church. Mama made you go. Now, there ain't nobody making nobody really go if they don't want to go. And these churches are so brainwashed with that blue-eyed Jesus thing, Caesar
Borgia,
you know, and all of that gang right there, you know, and why is it that you think that, do you think we have a generation of young people who are not connected spiritually at all?
Absolutely.
Because
what I was going to say about what you just said is, back in your day, we might have been indoctrinated by that imagery. But we were more spiritually inclined.
Spiritually inclined, right? Yes, yes,
and what I mean by that is we were attached intimately to our ancestors.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't if we lost consciousness of anything else, we didn't lose consciousness of that. Somebody passed away. Oh, you know, your auntie came to me in a dream last night.
Mm-hmm.
You took that as serious as the dopest prophet on the land.
Most definitely.
Because that was the law. That was like the divine truth when somebody came to you with a story like that, right? Now, you have people who are intellectually astute, ignorant spiritually.
Oh.
Right? They have no spiritual relationship, not even with themselves, right? So what that means is you can be duped.
That's dangerous, isn't it?
You can be duped intellectually, right? Just like you said, we all of us got a lot in common. Because, right. See, I was doing prison ministry when I got woke. And you had brothers in the system who ain't got nothing but time and good questions.
That was me.
Okay? They schooling me. Now, I'm going there thinking I'm teaching them something. I got so addicted
that
I'm
like, you.
Okay, what you got this week? I'm going back and, hey, I need you to answer. If I'm going to wear that sword and that crop, I need you to sharpen my stuff because right now I'm dulled in a mug, right? You hear me?
And that's exactly what happened to me is when I touched down, I was a lot of things I couldn't answer. And I was scared. Mm. So what I decided to do was stick with my testimony, which they loved hearing, you know, about the brother being down. And I would and incorporate some of the scriptures in there to tie in there, you know what I mean? But I was uncomfortable because I could only go to that 5% of the Bible that the church preaches on, you know, during Easter, Christmas, and you know, the gospels, the same old ones. But I started kind of, you know, getting out of line and started doing some of the books I shouldn't have been digging in.
Right.
I was like, slavery?
Later, huh?
You know, be a good servant to your master. You know, as if you're serving God. And I was like, oh, I didn't know slavery went on in the Bible. And what shocked me is God never, you know, he never checked it. He never said this ain't right. He never gave us a rainbow.
Yeah,
that said you've been slaved for 400
years.
You know, I think
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, how do you process scriptures in the Bible like slaves obey your masters? Your masters.
Well, if you take it literally,
yeah.
At face value, I think that's what it says.
Yeah, yeah.
Slaves, obey your masters.
As if we serving God.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And he is God.
Do you think that's something that came from God? You know, I just can't. It's hard for me to stomach that verse right
when you
there.
Forget.
That verse right
when you
there.
Forget that God you talking about exists in you. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because what he just said, think about it. This is how it exists today, 2018. When that cop is beating the fire to your brother, and everybody got a camera and ain't nobody fighting, you obeying your master. You hear me? You obeying your master.
Because he's the master, huh?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
He telling you without having to tell you how you going to conduct yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can video all you want, but I will do what I please. And you will surrender.
And if you mess with me, there are consequences.
Because I am what? God.
Yeah, I'm your master.
That's right.
I'm one of the masters.
So what I'm saying is that fear, it's the hypnosis. Get Out was the best movie to come out.
It is.
Right? Because the reason it really triggered people's psyche is because, like he said, that post-traumatic slave syndrome, it was thumping people in the head. I mean, you know, the big grandpa thump,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Right on the forehead.
Right.
Where it echo when it hits your forehead. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like that. And people had to walk out of that theater thinking about that. It got deep in people's subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And people started saying, man, how much of that is real?
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't real, why is it affecting me like it is? Right? You got a film that's based in quote unquote fiction that's real to the people watching it.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that they like this. They coming up out of hypnosis. Like, I don't want to be a slave. I don't want to be a slave. I don't want to be this. You not even conscious of the fact that you are deprogramming yourself, self-therapy in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because I'm looking at that thinking, man, I look at every movie like social engineering.
Right.
And I said, man, this right here, though, this is a dangerous one. Mm-hmm. Right? Because the more people watch, the more they start thinking.
Mm-hmm.
When you start thinking, you start breaking codes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we Rubik's cubing our own brain, like
mm-hmm.
trying to get the colors to match.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Oh, my God.
It's deep.
You know, when I was, when me and Chief met, in 2015.
When your brother was murdered.
In 2015.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there was something that cut on in me that I was searching for but couldn't find till that day.
Mm.
And when that day hit, I said, there's something that I've been searching for, that I'm on the right train, on the right track right now.
Right.
And that's where I am today, is because my brother's death really woke me up to what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
And as I went through that, my study and all that, and kind of breaking the code and opening doors and throwing old keys away, And clearing that cup, just clearing all that
mm-hmm.
junk out of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, just getting it all the way bare, you know,
yeah.
through the crying, the shedding tears, the anger, the mad,
yeah,
because you put your trust in the system,
right?
Not mm-hmm. only an American system, but a Christian
yeah.
system, and
yeah.
a system where this is where your funding comes mm-hmm. from, and you got 8 hooks in you.
Yeah,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Is this where your transformation started changing? Right when your brother's death,
it started changing.
You start looking at your brother's death along with the system,
and Christianity,
and Christianity too. All that, you put it all in the pot, right?
Exactly.
You start evaluating yourself.
And one of the main reasons is because as Crips and Bloods, as gangbangers, you ride with each other,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And as a Christian, as a pastor, as a whatever label you want to put on it.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't feel like the city was riding with me when I had a good case,
mm-hmm.
you know, jumped
mm-hmm.
out front, got it going good. And just like you said, brother, they went to the ministers
mm-hmm.
and the minister said, don't let him come around my town. We don't want to hear it.
Right.
We got it sold up. We got it just the way we want it. And so I had to go back and check my religion and say, well, where did my Christianity come from? And where did this book come from? And where did these preachers
come from and why we got these labels. And I started doing that old history. And I went all the way
back. I said, boy,
I'm in trouble. Because I've came too far to turn back now. Because you got to remember, I'm trying to think about the loose dust.
Yeah.
You know, I got to get the pockets up far, you know, and I got these people that's riding with me or helping me out in certain ways that I need to survive.
Right.
And I had more hooks in me, and I said, man, what am I going to do? And I just said, man, I wouldn't throw it all away to win.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did, man. I started searching, looking up information and debunking it. And before you know it, I had that book all the way just done. It was done.
You were done.
And me and Chris was, we was on the same path, and we would sharpen each other's sword and so on and so forth. And it just got to the point to where, you know, you just couldn't go back. And I felt better about myself because I can now answer the questions not only I had, but other people had. And not in a condescending way.
Right.
Because Christianity, even though I knew nothing compared to what I know today, you know, I felt like I was better than other people. It's crazy, man, with that thing. Yeah. I'm embarrassed to even talk about it.
But it's part of that journey.
It's part of that journey, I guess.
Being that journey. But didn't you start feeling, okay, when they start, Bob Bates, now I'm going to bring that up, when they convicted him, how did you feel, man?
I honestly felt like when he was convicted, the part of the reason he got convicted is because I got my head out of that nonsense
about
turning the other cheek.
Right.
And obey your master and all that. I had to get those jackets off of me to really see down through there.
Forgiveness.
All that nonsense. Yeah. All that bend over and take it like a man and all that nastiness that they put on. I said, I got to go get it and do whatever I got to do. And
stand for justice.
All the brothers that was out there with me that was really standing on truth and righteousness and the divinity was there.
That's right.
The God on earth right there, he was out there with us. And now I see that it's clear now. It's real clear now. But I had to break that curse, man. I'm telling you, man, breaking that thing.
And
it's good we're having this conversation because this is a real intimate space for us, you know, because we connected. We connected in ways that we're not even conscious of at the moment.
Absolutely.
But we know we are connected. So my chief is not just a nickname, right, for me. My title is Alagba. Alagba is the head chief of the ancestral society.
Wow.
That means we deal with those who have passed on.
Wow.
That's what we do.
Wow. Good.
Right?
Good. Yeah.
So when you saw me show up, I showed up for ritual. Yeah. But you have to disguise ritual. We disguise it so that it's palatable to the people because we need the energy of everybody in the space to be in harmony. Right. Because anytime you have to bring something in and it creates disharmony, then it's not good. We had to bring in our tradition, our African culture, and we had to layer it in drum rhythms, layer it in song. Right. The first time I met him, I'm using what we call Ofoashe, the power of speech. Right. That's why when Mark said, hey, chief, we want you to I'll come when it's time for me to come. Right. And I came when I met him. And I gave the power of speech because you have to invoke the presence of the great ancestor to be present with you to manifest what he was going for. Right. That's why I could never fix my mouth to say they killed him. I always said, no, he gave his life so that we can manifest something much greater and so that his life force could be more impactful. Because all he did was transfer his energy from one space to another. How that happened, the universe will do a crash course on that person who did that. Because the way we deliver, the way the universe deliver these messages are not the way we perceive it, because we're not perceiving it through spiritual eyes. We perceive it through a different way. That's why I said, let's call on the great ancestors and let them deal with him. While this man keep his sanity and can work his family and work his magic and do the stuff he was born to do. So that journey that you was already on, that ministry,
yeah,
That was the setup. That
That's
was to
right.
get
Come
you,
on,
make
Kevin.
You who you are, right? So that that man could speak
That's
that
right.
speak the way he needed to speak. Because
Come
I
on.
Never, I never seen a man come to that mic after an event like that and be so firm and secure in who he is.
Mm-hmm.
I never that right there, I was like, I have to help this man. Right? Because he ain't faltered. He
mm-hmm.
it,
yeah. Well, Chief,
that
yeah,
was brilliant.
You know, and you're about ancestral situation because you I mean you had an event down at the Greenwood Cultural Center.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
and you know what he told me? My mother had just passed.
Wow.
You know, my mother had just passed. And he says, hey, man, you got to bring that photo of your mother. You know, he kept saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept saying, well, I told my family, well, I'm going to go down here. And I put her photo amongst all the other photos and stuff of our ancestors.
Right.
You know, and you guys were bringing some awareness and some spiritual connection there through song and drum and speech and stuff like that. And I was saying, wow, man, I got touched behind that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And as I looked over there at you, you know, doing this, I'm saying Chief is bringing some awareness to people
mm-hmm.
and introducing something
yeah.
that that's needed
mm-hmm.
from, you know, he's being transparent in the spirit realm of doing things just like he did for you and your
yeah.
brother and so many other people. That's why we're having this conversation
mm-hmm.
today, to bring some of this awareness, you know what I mean? And it's great that you're doing that, bro. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting too, because people are so afraid.
Right.
We're so afraid of what our birthright is, what belongs to us.
Why
right?
is that?
But here's what's funny. All we got to do is look at who ain't afraid. When I'm going to OU to do a lecture, I got a lecture to you in 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
about what we do.
They want to know.
Of course, they've always wanted to know.
They want to know.
Right? But it's the idea that you talk. We go and talk to our people about it. Oh, they into that hoodoo, judo, voodoo stuff,
yeah.
right? That's what they into. You know, I ain't trying to hear. I ain't feeling all of that.
Yeah, we've been.
Yeah.
All right. That's because you're
talking about
you're gonna
children.
Your master. Your master said, "Don't touch that
series." You know. So that's what we've been talking about. Hey, we're gonna cut it short today, and we want you to tune in and keep in mind that No Juice Radio Show tomorrow. They're doing this. They're doing Thanksgiving. It's basic. They're doing Thanksgiving tomorrow. Everybody's doing. Hey, spend some time with your families. Make sure that you're safe. That's what we want to say. All right. Until the next time, we want you to have a good one. Okay.